This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a particular kind of horror that settles in when you realize a child is missing and the one person who can explain what happened, the one person who should be fighting, begging, screaming for help, has chosen silence. And not only silence, but silence backed by the full protection of the law. Ashley Buzzard walked out of custody and back onto the sidewalk as if none of this were happening, as if her daughter's disappearance were nothing more than a bureaucratic inconvenience. She walked out while the public stood there, eyes wide, jaws clenched, hands shaking, asking, how in the world is this allowed? And the answer delivered by the legal structure we've built is even more horrifying than the question. It's allowed because the system is functioning exactly as designed. It's not broken. It's not overwhelmed. Not asleep at the wheel. It is functioning, operating, executing its rules and priorities with cold consistency. And those rules, those priorities, those definitions of what constitutes danger, harm, and urgency, they are woefully, dangerously out of step with reality. That's why this is all happening right now. It's not somebody didn't file the right thing or pull the right paper. No. System's working. If you want it fixed, if you don't want Ashley Buzzard to be a free woman after disappearing her child now for almost 2 months, you got to fix the system because it's allowing this all to take place. Let's walk through this slowly because this isn't a story that deserves to be rushed. A child is missing, completely unaccounted for. There is no proof she is safe. There is no independent adult verifying her condition. There is no documentation from a medical facility, school, neighbor, family member, friend. Nobody has seen her. Nobody has heard her voice. Nobody can step forward and say, yes, this child is alive and okay. We don't have that. Instead, what we have is a void, a frightening, echoing void where a child's presence should be. Now, layer onto that the behavior of the parent. Ashley isn't cooperating. She isn't supplying information. She isn't directing search efforts. She isn't showing even the faintest public urgency to locate her daughter. And you'd think, as a normal functioning human being, that this combination, missing child plus uncooperative parent, would flip every emergency switch in the system, that this would be the moment where the law kicks into high gear, where judges intervene, where agencies mobilize, where someone in authority says, we're not letting you go until we figure out where your kid is. But that's not what happens. What happens instead is a legal, shrug, a procedural sigh. That's not how the system should work. Oh, it is. This is the system we have in place. This is the system you voted for. This is a system that exists because of the people that are in power that you chose. Don't like it? Choose better people. Tell them this is not okay. We need reform in these areas and hold them accountable. If we all just put our heads in the sand and pretend, we're shocked by this. Yeah, you're not. You're ignorant to it. You don't give a shit. It's too icky to talk about. And then when shit actually happens, we're all surprised and angry. A careful, cautious, restrained acknowledgement that unless the state can prove something more than suspicion, more than inferred danger, more than unsettling behavior, the parent walks free. Because that's how deeply parental rights are embedded into the American legal system. They outweigh instinct. They outweigh context. They outweigh common sense. This is where the public gets blindsided. They assume that the minute a child goes missing, every legal mechanism is activated automatically, right? They think Amber Alerts, phones going off, people in the field searching. No. They assume the parent becomes accountable to the state instantly. They assume questions must be answered. They assume the parent's rights shrink in proportion to the child's risk. But none of it is true. In fact, the opposite is true. A missing child actually expands the parent's legal shield unless there is concrete evidence of wrongdoing. Silence becomes strategy. Stonewalling becomes protection. Avoidance becomes a legally permissible stance. And the child, already missing, disappears even further into the cracks. And let's talk about those cracks, because they're not cracks at all. They're foundational pillars. They're baked into the DNA of the system. First, the threshold for detaining a parent whose child is missing is incredibly high. The law doesn't say, if the situation looks bad, hold them. It doesn't say, if they're acting suspicious, keep them in custody. It doesn't even say, if the child hasn't been seen in days, months, weeks, detain the parent until we can confirm safety. Instead, it lays out pretty rigid framework. Show probable cause for a specific crime, not vibes, not instinct, not concern, a crime. A defined, codified, prosecutable crime. And if you can't, guess what? They're free. And guess what isn't a crime? Being evasive, being weird, being combative, being erratic, being silent, being the last person seen with a missing child. All of that. Every single piece of it falls under protected behavior until the state can cross a line drawn by legislators decades ago. Legislators imagining neat, tidy scenarios, not modern, messy, mentally complex cases like this one. Second, the law gives parents astonishing latitude over their children's whereabouts. People falsely assume children must always be locatable. They assume the state requires some minimal visibility into their well-being. But unless they've already have an open protective order or a prior finding of unfitness, a parent can take their child anywhere, keep them away from anyone, disappear them from view for extended periods, and the system sees nothing wrong with it. You essentially have to prove danger after the child has already vanished. And we wonder why so many tragedies happen in that gap. Now, add a third layer, mental health. This part of the structure is one of the most dangerously outdated components of the whole machine. You can have someone spiraling emotionally, losing touch with reality, behaving unpredictably, posting erratic messages, severing ties, making bizarre claims, and unless they meet the extremely narrow definition of immediate danger to self, harm, others, or themselves, the system can't intervene. They can deteriorate for weeks while everyone around them watches helplessly. They can crash through relationships, abandon responsibilities, isolate themselves, reject support, burn down their social world, and none of it rises to the level of legal action. The threshold is so absurdly high that families often spend months documenting behaviors that any rational person would interpret as red flags, only to be told, "We understand your concern, but there's nothing we can do." When you combine that lack of mental health intervention with the enormous protective bubble built around parental rights, you get a nightmare scenario. One where a parent's instability does not trigger assistance or oversight, but instead creates the perfect conditions for a child to slip entirely out of sight. That's the twisted track we are all riding on right now. Imagine you're an investigator on this case. You know something is wrong. You feel it in your bones. You see the inconsistencies. You see the missing timeline. You see the lack of cooperation. You see the rising worry in the community. You see the child's absence stretching longer and longer. But the laws tell you that unless the parent does something specific and provably illegal, you have to step aside and let them walk. This is where the public screams, but why can't they just hold her until she talks? And the answer is infuriating. Because the system wasn't built that way. It was built on a dream that parents will always act in their children's best interests. It was built on optimism, not realism. It was built on a version of family life that simply does not reflect the complexities of mental illness, abusive dynamics, coercive control, delusional thinking, or the darker impulses some people harbor. The system believes parents are inherently safe, and it clings to that belief long after reality proves otherwise. Let's take a step even further back. The United States does not have unified national missing child protocol. Every state handles these cases differently. Every agency has its own thresholds, and every case is evaluated based on local statutes, not federal consistency. That means one county may say, "This is alarming. Let's escalate." While another says, "Our hands are tied." And since parental rights sit above most state-level child protection triggers, the inconsistency becomes even more chaotic. Here's the truth that shocks most people. There is no automatic requirement that a parent must produce their child when questioned by the state. None. The burden is on the state to show why the parent must produce the child, not on the parent to show why they shouldn't have to. That means a parent can literally say, "I'm not telling you where the child is," and the system responds, "Okay, for now." Until and unless they can prove the child is in danger, that silence wins from the parent. It is the most backwards, upside-down, nightmarish version of innocent until proven guilty you can imagine. Not because the principle itself is wrong, it's not, but because the law applies it without nuance, without flexibility, without any recognition of the unique vulnerability of children. The law treats the child as an extension of the parent rather than a separate person with independent rights to safety. This case exposes how a parent can effectively erase their child from public view while maintaining complete legal protection. And even as families beg for action, even as communities cry out, even as the public demands accountability, the system stands there with its hands in the air saying, "We can't move until we have more." But more might never come. Because when the only person who knows the truth is free, silent, and protected by the very statutes written to safeguard families, the system becomes powerless. That's the part nobody wants to admit. Investigators know it. Prosecutors know it. Judges know it. Social workers know it. But the public, they're too busy. Too busy on their social media and their own life to pay attention to the reality that we live in. The public rarely hears it plainly. A child can be missing and the system can be legally obligated to do almost nothing. It is not a glitch. That's the design. This is not a story about one bad actor slipping through the cracks. This is not a story about failure. This is a story about the rules themselves being the problem. Rules that allow children to disappear silently. Rules that elevate parental rights over child safety. Rules that prioritize proof rather, rules that prioritize proof after harm instead of intervention before it. A child is missing. Ashley Buzzard is free. And the only reason we're still talking about this case is because the public is doing what the system refuses to, calling it what it is, a nightmare built by design. And it's all going to keep going this way for the next Melody Buzzard, whoever they are, until something changes. And it only changes when you're outraged enough and you do something about it. So start sharing this. Start speaking about this. It's uncomfortable as hell, I know. But if you give a damn about children slipping through the cracks, let's stop maintaining the cracks and start fixing them. And stop pretending the cracks are just part of it. They don't have to be. We're choosing to let them be. So who's the crazy one at the end of the day? The one who is playing by the rules? The one who disappeared her daughter and knows exactly what levers to pull to keep herself safe? Or those of us who can see the cracks, see the problems, and continue to look the other way and go, I wonder why this keeps happening. Share this. Press subscribe too, so you don't miss our coverage of this and the many cases we cover. This is just so damn enraging. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.